French. Some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is.
You know, Gatorade needs to look like he needs some exercise. I don't know.
Of course, the conditions now that he has to play the shot test anyone.
You knew he would. You knew he would.
Oh my goodness.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.
Welcome into Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club. Episode 75, coming to you remotely now. We've got Connor at, what would you call it now, High Cotton Headquarters and Legacy Headquarters here in Springfield. But we're coming to you remotely due to the snowpocalypse we have going on right now in Middle Tennessee. But how you doing, Connor?
Yeah, I'm tired, as you are well aware. It's been some long days taking care of the animals. You know, my sleep schedule is pretty much just the opposite of the animal sleep schedule, I guess. You know, a lot of in and out of the house, and I think it's finally catching up with my head. So, but I'm grateful for the ability to at least be able to chat with you tonight. Obviously, this is the first time that you and I are podcasting remote, but the roads are very, very slick. Wrecks all over the place, especially just right on the edge of my road. So, you know, hopefully the audio is okay, but we appreciate everybody tuning in to another episode of Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club, episode 75. Before we dive in, we want to just remind everybody of a couple housekeeping items, like the barn burner at Kenny Perry's. Registration for that event is closing in just a couple weeks, January 26th or 27th. So make sure that you're checking out Unknown Golf, link in our Instagram profile, to register for the barn burner at Kenny Perry's. Stu and I have talked about it in the past. It's one of our favorite events of the year. And last year, it was really a huge jumping off point for the High Cotton Club season. So we really implore everybody to take advantage of this opportunity. The weather's not going to be this bad forever, so you're going to want to be able to get out, shake some people's hands, get out and just enjoy some time with some buddies. So take that opportunity at the Barn Burner, just like you can take that opportunity with the High Cotton Classic. That's an opportunity that's going to last from March all the way to June or July if you make it all the way to the championship matches. But that's an opportunity that we really, it's how we started here in the High Cotton Club, and so we're excited about the 7th edition, the JD edition. You've seen the logo, Stu. How excited are you for some of this merchandise that's going to be coming through?
Man, are we allowed to talk about it? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
The pictures you sent today, honestly, like the ball marker was like that was the first thing that caught my eye.
That's not classic stuff, brother. That's just stuff that they're sending. Like, hey, this is stuff we can do. If you want this, maybe we can do this. That's not even classic stuff.
Oh yeah, I want that for sure.
So what we're talking about, if you're not in the Discord, just reach out for a link to our Discord. But if you are in the Discord, that picture that I sent, I think it was into the merch thread. We were talking kind of, you know, subtly about a company that we've been working with for some time now, and they're really excited about continuing to work with us and kind of wanting us to help expand their product line and also just, you know, expand their product reach into the High Cotton Club. So they put together some stuff that we're talking about, a tumbler, a bottle opener, and then a ball mark that all looked really great. But that's not even the classic stuff. The classic stuff, one or two pieces still going to come from that company, one piece. I'll go ahead and say it's a flask. We're going to be getting a flask for this edition of the High Cotton Classic. And even if you don't drink a whole lot, this is going to be an item that, you know, you just put something in, you're carrying your golf bag and, you know, a little birdie juice.
You can't have enough flask. I'm not even like a whiskey guy, but you cannot have enough flask.
especially with the design that we're talking about. If you haven't seen it, make sure you check out our Instagram at the High Cotton Club or the High Cotton Classic. But like I was saying, registration for that event is open right now. We have spots for 32 in Tennessee and Kentucky. That means 4 spots to 8 spots available in the state of Kentucky. You're going to get your own pod, and then obviously all of Tennessee is going to fill it out with the rest of 4-man pods. And then also in the state of Alabama, you'll have 4 4-man pods of your own to fill out a field of 16 players. So make sure that you're checking all the Instagram links, all that stuff in Unknown Golf to make sure that you can get involved in that opportunity. Again, the High Cotton Classic holds a berth to the Roost Regional Team. So make sure that you're taking advantage and, you know, making sure you can get involved. Other than that, we want to talk about the Mother Clucker. We added a team today. He was my guest last year. He's an honorary member of the High Cotton Club. Ben McAdams joining with his buddy, my buddy as well, Aaron Mata. They're going to be coming down from Chicago. The Sanctuary Golf Club up there. Brand new TrackMan simulator bay, all that good stuff. They have a huge space. So Ben last year came down. He was really rusty, hadn't hit off grass in a long time. Hitting off grass may still be an issue, but the game's not going to be nearly as rusty this year for the Mother Clucker.
It kind of sounds like he dumped you.
Actually, you know, what happened was, you know, transparently, we wanted to – each be able to have that experience but bring somebody new in as well, and so to each be able to bring our own guest this time instead of coming back as partners was really the idea behind that. You know, we're still excited to be able to go down there and share the weekend together, but also to bring in 2 other buddies. Of course, he's gonna be bringing Aaron, and I'm gonna be bringing Mr. Night Train Lane from the Refuge.
Yeah, so Night Train Lane is the first guy that Tron introduced me to at NIT. He's like, you've got to meet this guy because I feel like you guys are the same person. And then I don't get it. I honestly don't. But apparently Tron thinks me and Night Train Lane are the same person.
Yeah, he's a lot more sophisticated than you are. I'll tell you that.
I completely get it.
Yeah.
I do.
Think you do a great job in all that you do. He just feels like he very much has his life put together, and it's like on his own account. Like,
I got a Christmas card from appreciate him.
That. I'm just saying his, you know, the goals that he has for the year, you know, he really seems like he just dials it in. He prioritizes himself and his self-happiness, and he does a great job of that. It's something that truly, maybe I'm just taking note of it because I noticed it, and I'm a little envious of it, and also just trying to get into that process myself.
Maybe you're just new to him.
I don't know. You know,
you just got to get to know him.
Maybe that's the case too. We had a great time up at the event in Cape Cod. Obviously, a good time at the NIT, and look forward to running it back at the Mother Clucker. But if you're listening, you need to get involved with the Mother Clucker as well. It's a great opportunity. It's the High Cotton Club C-suite event of the year. There's no doubt about it. With 36 holes of competitive golf, the option to play more rounds after that, before that, all that good stuff. Tickets to LSU at Mississippi State baseball game at the Carnegie Hall of College Baseball. Stu, how excited are you to see your baseball Tigers go up against the Fighting Dogs of Mississippi State?
It's not going to be a good day for Mississippi State. It's not going to.
That could very well be the case, but it's going to be a great day for us either way.
Go Tigers.
Hill State. We're going to have a great weekend. There's going to be a lot of fun with that. And I know that you're going to have a blast being around some of those LSU blooded folks. If you can get a partner, still got to get yourself a partner. We got to get that figured out.
Yeah. I don't know what you want me to do. I mean, I'll play with anyone. You know, I'll play with anyone at this point.
Well, let's get it figured out. We'll make that plea to the Refuge as soon as we get off the pod. You may end up with a random, but you can just carry him to victory.
Send a message to Mustache.
That's exactly what you need to do, your brother in Christ. But you played this past weekend, although the weather is no good here in Middle Tennessee, all throughout High Cotton Country, really, all the way from Kentucky, Southern Indiana, down to Alabama. Folks are dealing with snow, ice, all the mix, freezing rain. It's a tough scene out there. But just before all that stuff came in, you and the boys got out for the Overlook at Limestone Springs. Had to push it back a week due to some rain. Was that the right call? Did you guys end up having a pretty good day out there?
Yeah, it was nice. It was chilly in the morning. We had a little bit of a frost delay, but it, you know, worked out good because it gave us, you know, the guys from Tennessee, at least, it gave us a little bit extra time to come in and get settled. You know, we came in and had breakfast, and you know, we got out by 10 a.m. and it was a little chilly, but by the time we made the turn, me and D-Ball, I brought my cover and my heater. We really didn't use the heater, but we actually threw the doors back on the cover at the turn on the front 18. So, like, it was nice. It was like 45 at lunch. So it warmed up quick. I mean, it was a nice day.
That's good stuff. And can't complain about that.
Yeah, I mean, it, of course, it was in really good shape. It was, you know, playing softer than what we're used to last year. I'd really love to play that golf course when it was, like, in the fall, maybe when it's just playing hard and fast. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting. I think it would play really different. But, it was a little soft, but other than that, like the first couple holes, the first time I have ever played where, so I hit it down the middle on that, you know, we teed off on top on number one, hit it and it's in the fairway. And Burris said he shot me with a rangefinder and my ball went 235 yards. Like that was the actual yardage. That's how far it went. And then the ball was sitting. The grass, the fairway was frozen solid. Like it was still, because like even me said, like, you know, number one's like the last one to thaw out. The grass itself, D-Ball was in the right bunker. And he was like, we're going to have to play bunkers, like grind and repair, because he took his club and he goes, doom, doom, and it was solid ice in the bunker. That's how cold it was in the morning. But, you know, like, once we got around, like one was really the only one that was still, like, frozen at that point. The rest of the holes were fine. Like, Mies wasn't lying. Like, number one stays frozen. It's the last one to thaw.
Well, how are the greens, even after, you know, the frost and some rain in the week and a half leading up to the event? Mies, when we had him on the pod, was talking about how great the greens were even compared to last year. And we couldn't believe it. You know, we obviously didn't think he was a liar. It's just hard to believe that they could be that much better. What's the verdict?
Really good. Like, they didn't get to mow them or roll them or anything like that day or probably the day before either. And they were still really good. They were probably rolling eight and a half. Like, without mowing them or rolling them, bent grass greens, few days, that's pretty good.
Oh yeah, for like, sure.
Like if they had a chance to mow them and roll them, yeah, they would have probably been really slick, but they were still really smooth. You could tell they probably hadn't had play in a few days because they're very little footprints. I mean, that's the main thing with bent grass is, like, at least with us, is footprints, you know, because they're so, like, this time of year, they're so soft. But they were smooth. They rolled good. And as you can see from the scores, there were a couple of guys that went really low.
Yeah, I was about to say, you were talking about you and D-Ball obviously playing one together. But let's get into some of these pairings. We talked about it on the last pod, but we'll run through it again. We adjusted this event from a two-man event in the past to a three-man event this year, just trying to add something new to the High Cotton schedule. So Brandon Burris, Josh Appleton, and Justin Mies were paired together. Josh Hollingsworth, Frank McClellan, and Joseph Emsan were paired together. And then Will Faust, Dustin Ball, John Stewart, yourself were paired together. And then Brian Turley, Alex Kreider, and Ryan Rogers were paired together. So, like you said, a few guys went really low. And one of those guys, we kind of saw it coming. We knew it would happen. Brandon Burris just goes out and sets that course on fire. Shoots a 66 by himself that morning. For a four ball 61 with his partners, with Appleton
contributing net, 77. Net 66, net 68.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good stuff.
Look, we were on the second or third hole, and of course me and D-Ball are riding together, and I was like, I think Burris is gonna like this place. And about four or five holes in, he's like three under. And I'm like, yeah. And it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, makes sense. good for him. We'll talk about him more in a minute. Josh Hollingsworth, Frank McClellan, and Joseph M. Sand, they finished the morning round at 6 under par. I believe that's where Turley Kreider and Ryan Rogers finished as well, but didn't sign the scorecard. You hate to see it. Doesn't count. So Josh Hollingsworth led that team with a 72, really solid round. Frank McClellan, not his best, with a 92, and Joseph M. Sand with a 96. Tough, those two guys, 10 and 11 handicaps, not playing up to their capability and potential, and really only losing by five. They play a little bit better each way, and they really give Burris a run for their money.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the A players really came to play in that event. So, like, D-ball didn't play that well in the four ball, but in the scramble, he made probably three birdies and an eagle by himself in the scramble.
That's
like he was pace. He was y'all walking around yelling pace car. Like that's where we were.
That's impressive. Well, we'll talk about your group because you guys were technically not the A players, only on a technicality. Mr. Will Faust, really appreciate him jumping in the event as Mr. Matt Britton had to drop out last minute. So appreciate him getting involved. Unfortunately, does not have enough scores in his handicap to give him an actual handicap index. And part of our policy is if you don't have a handicap, you got to play as the best player in the field. So the best player in the field, we actually had a couple plus twos. So a guy who was probably, what, a 10-12 playing as a plus two shot and 86. So, I mean, played good golf for his handicap, but just truly not a plus two.
Yeah, so with the four ball, me and D-ball could have used the help. We didn't play well in the morning, but it was going to be really hard to catch. Burris played well, but then the other teams played well too. Like, we were pretty much bringing up the rear on the four ball, but brought it home in the scramble.
Yeah, the scramble, talking about that now. So, you guys, for those who weren't there and may not have been as plugged into what was going on, with the frost delay and with the plan to play 27 holes, you guys kind of probably started to look around as that first 18 was finishing, like, all right, we got to go if we're going to get this done. And then there might have been a little slow play at the end of the group, whatever. There was a little bit of struggling out there, right? And so you, D-Ball, and Will were just like, all right, we're going.
Well, no, me, D-Ball, and Will finished. We went inside. We sat down. We ordered lunch, we ate lunch, we watched TV for a while, and walked outside, and the next group was still on 17 fairway. So we went ahead and teed off.
That's tough.
I mean, I don't know what you were told. It sounds like you were told something different. We were in one fairway, and like I think Turley was yelling at us, like, you're supposed to wait. Like, we've been waiting for an hour. Like, we all ordered lunch. We sat down. We ate.
No, I would have done the same thing. I would have gone. You're good by me, and I totally understand what you guys are doing. And you guys needed to do it because the last group just barely finished, right?
Yeah. I mean, the last group was probably – we could have played our nine holes scrambling by the time that the last group got done with their first nine or first 18. We could have done that. Because there was no way else out there.
The toughest of
seasons. We went in there. We had lunch. We ate. We went back in there. We teed off. We finished. And when we made eagle on eight, and I said D-ball, solo eagle to eight, we could see Burris on three, and he was the last group.
That's a long ways back. So it's a tough scene, and obviously not what we're absolutely shooting for in our high cotton events, but it was car path only, cold, chilly, tough scene. Glad that you guys were still able to get it in. But, yeah, it doesn't hurt your guys' pace of play that you only had 24 strokes on that scramble nine.
Yeah, it was. We did play good on the scramble, so we motored around on that side. But
9 under 9 is decent.
No matter what we shot, we vibe pretty well. Especially, I mean, during the four ball, like, you know, like Will, if, you know, he was putting for bogey, and me and, you know, D-ball were both putting for birdie. We're like, it's all right, Will, just pick it up. It's all right. Or if it's the same way, like, I think I've shipped one out there for bogey one time, and like, just pack it in, buddy. Like, you got two guys putting for birdie. So, I mean, that's what you got to do in those things. Just keep it moving. Like, we're the pace car. We're trying to keep it moving.
Yep. And you guys did exactly that in the scramble nine. But you were trying to catch the pace car from the morning as well in Team Burris. Not quite enough to catch them in the overall combination between the morning and the afternoon. But you were able to pretty well dominate them in the afternoon with a 3-stroke victory over them. 1 stroke, it looks like, over Team Turley. And then 5 strokes over Team Josh. Not Josh's best day, was it?
You know, he played good in the four ball, apparently. But we watched him play a few holes in the scramble, and it was the scramble side is starting to get chilly. Like it wasn't an easy day. Like you look at the scores and you're like, oh, what happened? But it was not an easy day to play. Like, the scores are not indicative of how hard it was. It was chilly. It was cold. The ball was not going anywhere. And we were playing, 6,400 yards?
Mm-hmm.
And it was wet and cold, and the scores were much lower than I thought they were going to be. Like, I thought, like, 75, 76 was going to be a really good score.
And that's that golf course, you know, if you move it up any further, some of those holes are just so short.
Yeah, they are. But
I totally understand what you're saying, though, with it just being difficult. But, you know, I might have misspoke a little bit saying it was a tough day for Josh, because it sounds like he kind of cleaned up with the KPs, him and Frank taking home some new Belgian product.
Yeah, I mean, we had first time around. The one down the hill, I got that one, and then Josh got one. We kind of passed out that new Belgium. A lot of it didn't make it home. We kind of partook in that in the parking lot. You weren't there.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. As long as it's not, you know, on the golf course or during the event, you know, we're good. So you guys, you know, did the responsible thing. Had obviously a bunch of guys carpooling, and so you enjoyed it in the park.
Yeah,
we love to see.
Yeah, that was one of those, you know, good round, everybody. Let's partake a little bit and enjoy one for New Belgium.
Well, I mean, post-round beers, that's how the roost started. Not our roost, but that's how roosts overall started, was just trying to get out, play around the golf, and enjoy a beer in the parking lot after. So I'm really happy that obviously this was an event that we had the numbers that we kind of would have liked. You know, I always like to see a group of 16 get out there, but whenever we can get a group of 12 out there, you know, any really substantial group, it means a lot. And so to be able to know that you guys still had a good time, even though you didn't have the numbers, warms my heart. Obviously, a huge shout out goes out to Mr. Alex Kreider. This was, I'm pretty sure I've racked my brain. I think this is the first High Cotton Club event that I haven't been at in any capacity. And so for him to be able to give me that opportunity to not have to worry about it, obviously with all this winter weather coming in, I was running around like crazy, making sure that stuff was ready around here. And so he handled things down there, and I can't tell him and all the people who went down there enough how much I appreciate all of it.
Yeah, I'd say 12 in January is pretty good.
It's absolutely, and especially having to push it back a week. We didn't lose anybody really. We didn't lose any numbers, I'll say, having to push it back a week. And so looking forward to the barn burner. We only have 8 guys registered right now, and this was our largest event of the year last year. So I would really like to see some guys kind of pick up some momentum. But Frank is one of those guys who, he got involved with Santa Slam, got involved with the Overlook, and then he sent me a message either that night or the next night. He was like, hey, really enjoyed, you know, my participation in these couple of events. What do I need to do to take this next step? Like, I think, you know, I saw something about new member fees. Like, what do I need to do? How can I get more merch? So he's all in. And I think that's kind of the experience that we hope that some more people get, is just, you know, come to one or two of them, maybe break that barrier from Discord, and then you'll realize like what exactly we are, what makes us so special.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest hurdle you would say we face, is that and it's the same as the Refuge too, because you have a, you know, you have a ton of people that love to be involved with the Refuge and be involved with Knowing Up. But it's also like a ton of people like to be involved in the Discord and maybe not have the opportunity to get involved in events. This is a great one to do it, because it's very affordable. It's an easy location golf course. Like, it's an easy golf course to play. It's very playable. And, you know, this is one of our biggest events. You know, I'd say it's one of our staples every year, as far as in being the center of high cotton country.
Truly, you know, very much so in the center, and very much so one of our staple events. It's one of the only events that has been part of our schedule all 3 years now, because this is our third time going to it. Crazy to think that we're in our third season. I always trip myself up whenever I'm saying something like that. But yeah, the Kenny Perry's is obviously a great host venue to us, and so we're excited to get back up there. But you know, that's not the only time that we're going to Kentucky. Anytime soon, we'll be going up to the Farmers Cup right after that. Crossroads Co-op, pretty close to getting out a full squad. We're, you know, we've got our hoodies in hand. They're going to be, you know, designed. Designs, you know, mock-ups came back. They'll be printed pretty soon. We should have that, those out to players, hopefully before the event starts, so that everybody can pack it, have it ready to go, all that good stuff. But with all this cold weather throughout Middle Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, I just think it's hardening us, right? It's making us ready for whatever we face whenever, you know, spring comes and whatever is left of winter, especially when it comes to the events like the Farmers Cup.
I mean, do you think that, especially after last year, that they think the cold weather is going to affect us?
Yeah, some of them legitimately do. Some of them legitimately.
We're in the same time zone. Like, come on, man.
You know, they've recruited folks from different time zones. They've got folks from all the way as far west as Seattle, Washington, as far east as, I think, like Toledo, Ohio.
Definitely. How much is
in Ohio?
How much will it suck when we sweep them again?
You know, the one thing is, we did change the format to where it's every hole is worth a point.
Okay.
So sweep would be incredibly difficult. But if we swept them in that fashion, it would be one of the all-time defeats. And I think they would have to resign as a roost. Don't see that happening. you know, I think that they're at least good for a few points. With some of the handicaps that they're bringing on their squad, I think it's actually going to be a pretty competitive setup in an event. So I'm excited for it. You know, whoever wins that hole, we're going to start out on the black tees. But whoever wins a hole will get to decide the tee on that next hole. So I'm really excited to see how the handicap matches match up, and then how we take advantage or get taken advantage of with the tee scenarios and stuff like that. I think it's just going to be a very interesting event. We've definitely set it up to be as competitive as possible.
Well, I hope so. You hate for them to travel all the way down here and get swept again. So let them win a hole or two, you know.
Let them win a hole or two, because, you know, a few of them will be coming back for the extinction. But we're also looking at planning an event in Louisville in August. And I say all this because we had some chatter on the Refuge today in the Kentucky thread. Kentucky is as important to us as Alabama, as Tennessee, as Southern Indiana, as Mississippi. So the folks who may be, you know, catching a little bit of this from Kentucky, we want you to know that you're as important to us as anybody else. And we're trying to get you involved. We've tried in years past, obviously, with pods in the High Cotton Classic and stuff like that. So stay tuned for different opportunities. But Kentucky, we like to say it's a firmly high cotton country. I mean, we got, what, 5 events planned there, if you include the regional?
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's – I mean, they were – part of the High Cotton Club before, honestly, before like Alabama was. Like we had members there in Kentucky before Alabama jumped out, you know?
We did. We had a pod in Kentucky for the High Cotton Classic and competitive.
The first one. Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, before anything else. So Kentucky is high cotton country, and we want to plant our flag. And I think the hoodie that we have coming for the Farmers Cup will represent that. And I'm excited to fully debut that to everybody. But in the meantime, we have something else that we need to debut, and that is the winner of last week's social media giveaway. We appreciate everybody commenting on last week's video. Stu did a great job getting hyped, getting everybody excited.
Wait.
We loved that. And so without any further ado, it is my pleasure to announce the winner of our social media giveaway, the winner of two of these high cotton beanies right here. It's a guy that Stu and I know from our time at the NIT. I've been able to meet this guy in the past before this year's NIT, but it's Mr. Justin T. Shelley getting one for himself and his buddy DCL Thomas. So stay tuned. We'll be reaching out to you in your Instagram DMs to let you know that you are the winners of these sweet high cotton beanies, and we appreciate your support very much. Please, if you haven't already, make sure that you're subscribed, liked everywhere, social media, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff, because the more you do that, the more cool stuff like this we're going to do. So stay tuned for all the good stuff that we have coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, I think if we can get 2,000, I think we can give out a couple more cool things.
You know, the goal in this kind of social media push that we were doing is I was doing some research. What are the most followed roofs on social media? And in my research, I found out that we were number 3. So
I'll say Boston's probably up there because, I mean, Ohio has a big following. LoCal.
We're below LoCal. LoCal is like 1,400. Said Boston. I'm pretty sure we're above Boston. Yeah, we're above Boston. The two that we are behind is Europe and NorCal.
Okay.
So
pretty much two countries.
I mean, and two of the oldest. We have made a meteoric rise in our social media following, and a huge shout out to Austin Gervais for all that he's doing to kind of take some of that burden off of me, but make sure that we're still rocking and rolling on Instagram and all that good stuff. So we're excited for all the things that we have cooking. We've obviously been hard at work with the Extinction, making sure that we pull off this event as well as we can. And so shout out to Jim Flannery at Buckeye Bag Tags for coming in huge as the sponsor of the High Cotton Classic. Now it's a very exciting partnership. We've obviously worked with Jim in the past. I'm so excited to continue that in a newer and bigger way, but obviously everybody knows about Dylan and AAA, Hefty Lefty, Clubworks, Mr. JP Mann getting involved a little bit as well. Mr. Brian Laurent up with the Golf Course Superintendents Network. So a lot of great stuff going on with the High Cotton Club and the Extinction specifically, but still plenty of opportunities left to get involved. So if you want to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
I remember the first time we played at Park Mammoth, I got to play with Hefty Lefty.
What an experience that was, right?
It was him and I can't remember his name. It was the guy that controlled the drones. Like the camera guy, he's the photography guy.
I know we talked about this in the past, and I can see him clear as day. I just can't.
My group. That's it. Hefty Lefty can play.
Oh yeah, he can. Oh yeah, he can. He's gonna get me dialed in with some new sticks.
Like he can play. I was impressed.
Member up at Franklin Country Club. Never played there. He's invited me out. Ever since that first Extinction, I need to take him up on that opportunity. But yeah, he's been a great friend of the High Cotton Club. So excited to be able to continue our partnership with him in a bigger and better way as well. But enough with all that. Stu, I want to hear some life advice from you. We have been stuck inside for the better part of a week now. So are you getting cabin fever? Is there anything that you need to get off your chest?
No, I mean, I've been to work the past few days, but, man, winter sucks. It really does. Like, when you're stuck inside all the time, you're not being very active. It's not very good. It's just, I had some good life advice, but it's in the background, and I'm afraid if I go look at it on my phone, like, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah, that's a fair concern. you know, obviously, we appreciate you doing what you need to do to join the pod, even by calling in a little late night session. But if you need to let something rip off the top, you need me to go and give you some time to kind of let it marinate.
All right, let me hear yours. Let's see.
All right. Well, as you were saying that, I was thinking earlier about what my life advice was going to be, and I didn't have anything great, but I was thinking about it as I was taking care of the animals right before I was trying to get back in here to record. And I saw several folks on TikTok kind of in the Western industry making this trend that we don't work this hard in this bad of weather for you to put ketchup on your steak. That's my life advice.
I like that. You know, I've always, my wife's sitting right here, and she's a ketchup on your steak kind of person.
I'm a huge ketchup guy, and I'm not even like a, I grew up with a little bit of ketchup on the steak when I first needed to that introduction to steak, but you know, I fully understand what they're saying and stand behind it 100%. And obviously it's been more horses than cattle for me. The cows have been pretty great, but it's been a lot of hard work. And so, you know, I say it kind of with the tongue in cheek, you know, talking about the ketchup, but legitimately, like, you know, support your local farmers and ranchers wherever you can, go to farmers markets, stuff like that, because there are people out there every day right now, multiple 4 or 5 times a day, busting ice and busting their ass to make sure that their animals are taken care of so that your family can be taken care of.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to take care, I mean, not only just a few, but like herds of animals during all of this. Like,
that's the dream, baby.
Is it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It'd be a lot easier, I think, if I had a herd than if I had, you know, just these two cows that want to, you know, I won't even get into all that. But
yeah. I mean, you got Cotton over there. I mean, he's kind of a dick, you know?
Yeah.
That horse of yours, he's a dick.
Today was a little bit crazy, but obviously I joke about the two cows. It's been tough for me to be so far away from Lincoln County. My parents are actually out of town right now, and so I know that this weather is hitting the actual herd, and I'm just stuck up here. You know, obviously I can't leave the horses, but yeah, all that to say, thoughts and prayers with all the hardworking ranchers and farmers out there right now, and hope that everybody else would share that sentiment. If you don't, maybe you should.
I mean, you probably should.
Is that giving you time for life advice now?
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. I like it. I like it a whole lot. Well, before we get out of here, I got to ask you two questions relating this, as you call it, snowpocalypse. One, what is your favorite snowed-in drink?
It's always Natty. So
always Natty. Okay. Two, favorite snowed-in activity. You can go back to when you were a child. You know, you can get a little creative with it. It doesn't have to be one thing or another. For me, it would be getting pulled behind something on a sled. Not sledding in general, but, you know, this is high cotton country. We got to amp it up with a little bit of redneck way over here. And so you get pulled behind a four-wheeler, get pulled behind a truck or a Jeep. That's the way to do it. I remember back in the day we had like a my dad turned a hood upside down, pulled us behind the Jeep truck, and yeah, that's how we went sledding.
Oh, Rocky?
Oh, yeah.
No, I can actually sign off on that. Like, you kind of got to pull something behind something. I remember when the kids were little, we actually got the golf cart out, and we're pulling around with the golf cart. We're spinning a thing. Like, you got to pull something by something. Yeah.
Well, most of the time here in Tennessee, the snow isn't, it's not good.
It's usually like wet and icy, you know, like this was a good, like powdery dry. This is kind of a Colorado Montana snow, wasn't it?
This was a great snow. Totally agree with you. It was a snow that I thought about breaking my skis out. If you know it had been the right circumstances, maybe a couple more inches, I would have. But it's that snow that I've been able to drive my truck out in the pasture, stuff like that, without any problems. And that's usually not the case.
Yeah, that's like when I started driving in the other day, it was like, this is more of a kind of a Colorado snow. Like it was a dry, like it wasn't that wet, icy stuff that we normally get.
Well, it is now. It's freezing rain has moved in. Everything has a layer of ice on it now. So our thoughts and prayers are with everybody out throughout high cotton country and all of the country getting affected by this winter storm. Before we kind of close out the pod, we want to share specific thoughts and prayers with, I apologize, I don't know their names, but Josh Appleton let me know about the situation of a local school teacher and her husband. Their home burned down the other night. You know, obviously just trying to stay warm during these frigid temperatures and lost their home because of it. So our thoughts and prayers go with them. We've been monitoring, seeing what we can do to help, and we'll be doing a little bit where we can. But always, that's an opportunity that we have because of your support and involvement in the High Cotton Club and things that we can do through the High Cotton Relief Fund. So we appreciate everybody's involvement, support, and for tuning in to another episode of Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club, not presented by anybody right now. So if you want to be the presenting sponsor, you can be.
Wait, I thought AAA was doing it.
AAA is our Member Monday sponsor.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So anytime that we have a member on, you know, they'll get a little bit of a little plug, but you know, no member, no spotlight.
You got to pay to play.
Got to pay to play. Not exactly, but we, in all seriousness, we appreciate everybody. And this has been a little bit loose and maybe a little bit more of an infomercial than a conversation. It's weird looking at my computer 6 feet away when I'm used to having Stu 6 inches away from me. But we'll see everybody later. Without any further ado, let's just run that outro and get out of here.
Rich, some guys like it quiet, some guys like it loud. This is
Gator needed to look like he needed some exercise. I don't know.
Conditions now that he has to play the shot. Test anyone.
Straight up. Yeah, look at this, Peter. Look at this shot. Look at this. Might go in. It is in.
Oh, he's running after it. He ran after it. He got there before the ball did.
I don't believe it.
How about that? I've never seen him do that.
You knew he would.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.